Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here to kick off another week with us here on the show. Of course, it is Monday and it is Trip Report Day. Listener Spencer is standing by to share his recent vacation. Don't forget, I'm down at Walt Disney World starting today. So follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike for all the pictures and updates. Also, don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. They're keeping you out of lines, seeing the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. Check out all the great services they offer to make your next trip that much better. They're over at touringplans.com. Please support the show with our Amazon affiliate link. It's the easiest way to support the Be Our Guest podcast. Just bookmark the site, beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Use it often. You get all your Prime benefits. Cost you nothing extra. Again, beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1544 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and of Disney's Pop Century Resort for the next few days. I hope that you are following me on the social media at Be Our Guest Mike on Facebook and Instagram, or Twitter and Instagram. Of course, the Facebook page for the webs for the podcast as well. We're going to have updates there. But I'm down for the final Illuminations tomorrow night. Boo. And I'm there for the first Epcot Forever. Of course, going to ride the Skyliner, all kinds of good stuff. So I hope to bring that to you here to get you through this last week of September. But of course, it is a Monday, and it's time for a trip report. We've got a good one for you this time last year to get you ready to settle in for the fall season down at Walt Disney World. So Spencer's coming back on the show from North Carolina. Spencer, how you doing today?
Hey, Mike, I'm doing really great. It's great to be back on here with you.
I'm glad to have you back, and I know that you work in education, and the fall time, pretty exciting time to be working with the kids, right? I mean, especially at your level, you got homecoming, you got all the, I'm sure, Friday night lights and all that good stuff, so probably a pretty good time to be an educator.
Well, it is, although I tell you, of the 20 years I've been in education, about 15 of them have started with a really bad school, getting back to school cold, and I've got one of those now, so my voice is going to be a little cranky.
Aren't those middle school and almost high school kids just germ factories? That's what I learned teaching sixth grade.
It's a petri dish.
It's kind of gross. All right, well, let's not talk about that because it's a Monday morning. People, we have tons of teachers that listen. They're like, great, thanks for reminding me. I'm going in to get sick today. So no, just Clorox wipes and all that stuff. So anyway,
exactly.
Let's talk about your trip the fall last year. So where did you stay? When'd you go down? Who was the crew that traveled with you? All that kind of stuff.
Sure. Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm a mega busy planner, and this trip is probably my pride and joy in terms of planning, because in a 5-day stay, we were able to hit all four parks, Disney Springs, two resorts, have pool time, do the Halloween party, food and wine, and Moonlight Magic, and a character meal. So I was really, really proud of my ability to pack all of this stuff in and still not feel like we rushed through anything. We had a split stay. We stayed at the first night at Saratoga Springs, and the last few nights at the Polynesian.
Wow. So, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things when you pull off getting a lot done without feeling like, you just did the heptathlon or something by the time you get home. That isn't
right.
It's a miracle, but it can be done. But like you said, it takes a lot in the pre-trip to make sure that happens during the actual trip.
Correct. It does. Absolutely.
So now let me ask
you
this.
And we're DVC members.
Well,
when I say that we stayed at Saratoga and we stayed at Poly, they were both in the DVC stuff, in the DVC resort. So
good places to stay too. So let me ask you this. So you traveled in September and you do work in education. So do you guys have did you have a fall break that time, or did you take an extended weekend? How'd that work?
I did not have a fall break. And I did just take an extended weekend. I went down with my wife Beth and our son Owen and a family friend of ours, Dylan, who he's an adult as well, and so it was the four of us. I just basically took a few days off. I worked 12 months as a school administrator, so I'm able to take vacation at various times. Yeah,
because I was going to get that question from one of our listeners. I know, you just said he's in education. How'd he go down in September? No, that's awesome. If you're on a 12-month contract, you deserve to go. Whenever it works, it's a great thing to say, because that's the one thing I get from all of our teacher friends, and God bless each one of you out in the audience, that man, I never get to go to Food and Wine, or I never get to go to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party because it's, you know, school's getting back in. You can't miss then, you know, and of course in the spring, can't go to Flower and Garden because state testing and all that stuff. So there you go. So you just got to get on a 12-month contract, and that's all to go.
That's
so,
right. I take great delight in texting a picture of me with, a drink from Food and Wine around 1 o'clock on a random day to my friends back at school.
Send that as a staff email. That's how you do that.
Exactly.
Here's the Monday memo. No, it's me at the beach.
Email.
That's it. Right. Now, let me ask you this before we kind of hop into the details of the trip, because we've got a lot to talk about.
Sure.
But, I mean, I don't know if we mentioned this on the last show we talked about, but give us your background. Why is Disney so important to you? Like, what's your story when it comes to Disney and the Disney destinations?
Well, my very first trip was my kids' first trip, and we went when I went in 2008. We went back in 2010, and that one went so well that my wife and I saw an infomercial sometime in 2011 for DVC, and we just bought it sight unseen, and we've been going. So between 2008 and 2018, we went 10 times.
Wow.
So, you know, we totally decided this was the right thing for our family investment, our financial investment for our family, and we've never regretted a single dime of it. It is the best thing that we've done for our family. It's the only time when we can fully immerse ourselves in our family. That, you know, no one's checking their email, no one is worried about work. We're just down there having fun. So,
yeah, I totally hear you. I mean, that's exactly how it is for our. We're not DVC, but it's the same thing. You know, it's like, when we get to Walt Disney World, we pass under the gates, you know, we're at our resort. It's all about family, and it's all about, like, you know, I tell my family, you know what, the only thing we have to worry about doing for the next 7 days is having fun. You know, like, no stress. Let's eat where we want to eat. Let's go do some attractions, see some shows, and cut loose, you know, because, you know, I mean, life is so busy. You're always checking your email in the real life, and when you get away from that for just a little bit, man, it refreshes you and gets you kind of ready to go again.
Exactly. It's like that song on Stacey's TV channel, Let the Memories Begin, and it's totally not corny in the least, because that's exactly what happens for us.
Yeah, totally. I hear you. So now you stayed the first part of the trip at Saratoga. I've only stayed at the tree houses there. I mean, it sounds bad, but I stayed there with Pam Forrester years and years ago. It was so fun. But
yeah.
Tell us about the positives and negatives of Saratoga.
Well, you know, we've stayed at 11 different Disney resorts, and I would have to say, you know, if I was to rank them, I probably would. I mean, now bear in mind, the worst Disney resort is better than any resort that's off property. I mean, I'll just go ahead and put that out there. But I would probably put Saratoga closer to the bottom of the list, primarily for one big reason. It was so spread out. I mean, it took us from where we checked in to where our room was. It was such a hike, and, you know, that it was just, you know, that was a bit annoying, but you know, the rooms were well appointed, and you know, they had good shopping and good food and stuff there too, but it was a bit of a hike.
Yeah, when I was down for Mallory's Cheer Championships last May, we were staying at the B, which is just down the road there offsite. Ugh. Horrible.
Yeah.
But every morning I would sneak into Saratoga, and it is so huge that I could get in my long distance runs just by doing like two or three laps around the resort itself. It is big, but you know what? For somebody that hasn't really spent a lot of time there, it's a really beautiful resort, and with the connection to Disney Springs now, it gives you an opportunity to really, you know, have a lot of dining right outside your back door. But you're right. I mean, you do have to walk a little bit when you're staying there.
Now, I will say that our first day there, we did go to Disney Springs, and so that was a huge advantage because we just walked across the bridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, it's gorgeous, too. Like, even just, and I know not every villa backs up to Disney Springs, but if you have one where you have a Disney Springs view, I mean, there's something to be said about, I know everybody wants to kind of have the castle view, but there's like that bustling energy and the neon of Disney Springs. I mean, that kind of stuff appeals to me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, for the proximity to Disney Springs, it was absolutely a major plus. And we only stayed at Saratoga one night, but that was the only time we were at Disney Springs as well. So
was there any highlights from your time over at Disney Springs that you can recall, favorite restaurant stuff?
Yeah, sure. We ate lunch at Earl's Sandwich, which is always, that's a must do for us at Disney Springs. I love the fact that there were, you know, all the fall decorations were out in their glory. And, there was one thing I did for the very first time, which we had not ever had drinks at Jock Lindsay's, which we did this time.
You know, what'd you think of that? Because, I think it's really cool, but it was smaller than I thought, but not too small. It was the right size, but I guess I'm just so used to, you know, places like Pecos Bills and Cosmic Rays, you know, they're on such a grand scale because of the you know, like you're in the Magic Kingdom, where I think Jock Lindsey's, I would like to see more places like that, highly themed and just the right size.
Oh, it was so much fun. I mean, it's a great theme, and the drinks are, you know, on point. You know, we are social drinkers. I mean, I don't drink to excess in any way, and you can't at Disney because it's too expensive. But
that's right.
But the drinks were really inventive and creative, and it was a lot of fun. It was just one of those immersive Disney experiences that you can only get when you're in the Disney bubble.
And that's smart to take advantage of Disney Springs while you're there at Saratoga. All right, so let's hop over to Polynesian. That's
we also
go ahead.
Yeah, well, we ate at the Boathouse too, and you should have said, I don't know if you've ever ordered the baked Alaska at the Boathouse.
Yes. Well, Pam Forrester had a birthday there, and we all we shared a couple of those things. That thing is crazy.
Well, I mean, it's just it is so much fun, and the look on my son's face when they brought that to the table, I was able to capture that in a picture. And we after we finished our fill of it, we passed it around to our neighboring tables and let other people have some of it too. It was just a lot of fun. Yeah.
Here, you want to gnaw on this baked Alaska? You can chisel away. There's still, you know, but it is. I mean, that's basically what we did. I mean, the thing is ridiculously huge, but it's again, I think this goes kind of with the overall theme of Walt Disney World. Sometimes it's about the experience as much as the product.
Oh, dude, it's so good. It's so good. And then we went from there. We had, it was our only time at the studios this trip. We went to Moonlight Magic because we're DVC members. They had a Moonlight Magic event at Hollywood Studios that night. And so we were able to take advantage. And it's just like one of their Halloween parties. You can get in at 4 o'clock and the actual event starts at 7 and they shut down for only those guests. And so as DVC members, we were able to go to, there for free. And, you know, we had free hamburgers and Mickey bars and French fries, and we're able to do Toy Story Land for the first time. It was just it was an awesome experience to do that Moonlight Magic.
I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, I'm not a DVC member, but I'm a huge advocate that DVC members should get rewards, you know, in events like this at the highest level, because, you know, when you think about it, there's certain levels that you buy into the Disney company, you know, but DVC is right there at the top. I mean, you've basically bought a mortgage, you bought a timeshare, you know, you have your annual pass holders, take care of them too, because they're buying in at a certain level as well. But I'm glad they did stuff like this. So does it feel like Disney was appreciating the investment that you made with DVC when they put on these events at the parks?
Well, I mean, I'm not one that really believes, I mean, with the merchandise discounts and the food discounts and stuff like that, I've always believed that we get appreciated in those ways anyway. But this event was really over the top. I mean, we had not gotten to do Toy Story Land before, and so to get in there and get to ride Slinky Dog and the Swirling Saucers, you know, they have DVC only merchandise. I mean, I bought a DVC Game of Life, literally.
Nice.
I mean, that's kind of crazy, but I thought, well, it's there. I'm getting it. And you know, and free food. I mean, all of the ice cream bars you could want. You pass several kiosks and you just ask for one and they hand it to you. And so it really did make me feel as a DVC member that we were being appreciated that night.
Yeah, my buddy Scott's a DVC member, and he did one of these events at the Magic Kingdom a year or so ago. And the whole night, all I was getting from him, because he's, you know, updating me on this event, because I was like, that looks so awesome, man. Tell me how it is. So he's going around, he's like, look, there's nobody in Frontierland, you know, and, you know, because he stayed till the end. But I mean, every time he would text me, it'd be like he'd have a popcorn in one hand and a Mickey bar in the other. I mean, I'm like, dude, don't make yourself sick, because it was like you could really, I mean, it was crazy.
We were able to ride Rock and Roller Coaster 3 times. We went back and forth on it without having to wait. We did Tower of Terror twice. We did Star Tours. And we only were able to do Slinky Dog and the Swirling Saucers once a piece because obviously the lines were huge then. It had just opened like a month prior. But we really made the most out of our time there at Hollywood Studios and didn't have to pay for park admission to do it either. So,
well, now, so you did this before you guys went to Mickey's Not So Scary at the Magic Kingdom, right?
Correct.
So
Correct.
Did that have any bearing on
our very first night was the Moonlight Magic.
So did that have any bearing though on your enjoyment of Mickey's Not So Scary? Because kind of similar like hard ticket events, but you know, it's not, you're not getting treated as much like royalty at the Halloween party.
No, No, and we paid for all of that. So
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It did not. It didn't compromise it in the least. It was fantastic.
Now, talk to us about the highlights of the party, because again, it is Halloween season. It has been for 6 weeks down at Walt Disney World. The parties are going hot and heavy. So what did you guys enjoy?
Well, we had before we went to the Halloween party, our next day we did food and wine at Epcot. We transferred to the Poly that morning. We only were in Saratoga one night, and we transferred it. Then we went to the Epcot Food and Wine Festival. I'd say the funniest part of that experience was the fact that we didn't eat breakfast before we went over there, because if I'm going to Food and Wine, I'm not going to have a Pop-Tart, nothing. I'm going to be ready to eat. And for breakfast that morning, I had a Dole Whip with coconut rum. That was my breakfast that morning. So
that's vacation.
that way, I mean, it was, yes, that's truly magical in my mind. But we really, we ate our fill and drank our fill too. You know, we enjoy the Grey Goose slushies and the Grand Marnier slushies and all that stuff. We visited the DVC lounge there at Epcot for the very first time, which was fun. We, got some air conditioning and were able to, sit on the couch and charge our devices for a few minutes. So that was much appreciated.
Yeah.
And then rode all the rides that we typically do. So.
Yeah, I love that lounge. You know, being a non-DVC member, it's always good to have a best buddy who is a DVC member who can get you in.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's always good to know somebody.
And then after, go ahead.
No, as I said, it's always good to know somebody that's DVC if you're not.
Yeah, well, anytime, Mike. I'm down there.
Okay,
when you're down
good
there,
deal.
Come on, I'll treat you to some air conditioning in the lounge.
Sounds good. I'll hold you to that. Okay, go ahead. So how's Food and Wine the rest of the day?
So, and then we went to the Poly after that. We probably ended the day at Epcot. I'd probably say, maybe around 3 or 4 o'clock. We weren't there incredibly late. We wanted to get some pool time in at the Poly. So we went and checked in at the Polynesian, and our son went ahead and went to the pool. And then me and Dylan and Beth went to Trader Sam's, also a first for us. We had never been there before. So I had a great hour or two in Trader Sam's.
So what was your drink at Sam's? I got the Owa Owa, I think. It's the one that you're supposed to share, and it's got like a three-headed kind of cornered glass somewhere around.
I know exactly where you're talking about. I did not have that. I had a couple of them, though, and I did buy the mugs because I thought, again, once-in-a-lifetime experience, this is Disney money. You know, it's not real money. And so I bought, and so I'm looking at them right now. They're on a shelf. One of them is a zombie head.
Yes.
And then, I don't even remember, cause it's been almost a year, but the drinks, at Trader Sam's, again, just like at Jock Lindsey, so much fun, so creative. The theme is immersive. The staff in there, just really get into it and have so much fun, at your expense many times, but, once in a lifetime.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad Disney does stuff like this, because I know that, you know, with Sam's, a lot of it is about watching your fellow guests and their interactions with their wait staff and what they order and how the bar staff, you know, presents the drink. It's not just handing it to you. Sometimes, depending on what you order, things happen within the environment. And, you know, obviously some people probably play it up more than others, but Disney needs to keep doing this stuff, because, you know, we're kind of in a time where it's a little, you know, people are unsure about the future of the economy, and cutbacks are starting to happen slightly down at Walt Disney World. But I think that Disney can't lose the magic of small things like this, because these small things separate Disney from other places.
And they're really, really good at it. I mean, I can just tell you that being at Trader Sam's, I mean, we were there, you know, it's close quarters. And so you're almost compelled to talk with other vacationers that are nearby. And we sat at this table right there in the middle of the bar that was this long pub style tabletop. And you know, the one with the stools that sink into the ground without warning.
That's
and,
so yeah, Disney. I mean, yep.
It was so much fun, and we were able to, you know, we met people and just sat there and socialized, and it was just, like you said earlier, it screamed vacation to me.
Yeah, it's a great place. Yeah, the slowly sinking stools, man. That is just, that is a classic. Every bar should have those just to freak people out. It's pretty sweet.
It was so much fun. It was so much fun.
Like, if I had too many drinks, or are you sinking into the ground? Not sure. That's so now, was that the same day that you guys went to the, did you guys go to the Halloween party that same day with Food and Wine and then going back to Sam's?
It was no, one day? We just, after Food and Wine and Trader Sam's, we just went out to the pool for a little while and enjoyed some peace and quiet out there. And, well, not quiet, some peace out there. And by poolside and called it an early evening. We had been running pretty hard with Moonlight Magic and then getting up early for Epcot. We'd been running hard for a couple of days, so we took it easy and went to bed a little early. We had a reservation the next morning in ADR at Ohana. My friend Dylan and my son Owen are major Lilo and Stitch fans. And Dylan, I should have mentioned, Dylan had never been to Walt Disney World in his life. And so this was a first for him. And so we really wanted to give him a lot of fun memories and experiences. And so getting pictures with Stitch was high on the priority list.
You know what? Ohana breakfast is one of my favorite places to go. You know, for one thing, if you're going to the Magic Kingdom that day, you're in proximity to your destination. But it's exactly. It, great food, a great character interaction, and just the environment of Ohana, and also going to the Polynesian. It's a win-win-win for me. So was it a good experience for you guys?
That was fantastic. I mean, I really love it too. I mean, it's essentially a lot of the same breakfast you'll get other places, but it's got some really neat details to it that are unique to Ohana. I mean, the juice is, I think it's pineapple and papaya or something like that. And, you know, the waffles are not Mickey waffles, they're Stitch waffles and things like that. And it's unique. And the view is, you know, unparalleled. You're looking at the castle through the window. And it was so much fun. And we've been to that breakfast now. I think that was our second time going there. So we knew what to expect, but it was Dylan's first. And, you know, he just loved it.
So now talk to me about taking Dylan for the first time, because it is so exciting when you have a friend, a relative, somebody that's not gone, and you're the uber right. Disney fan. They've probably heard you talk about it 17,000 times. Like, come on now, what, yep. You know, either they're going to be, you know, sarcastic about it, or they're going to buy in. So what was his take?
He was wide-eyed at the entire experience. I mean, he really, I mean, he's very close to our family, and he just, you know, I mean, he couldn't stop grinning the entire time. And, you know, he's really close with my kids. And so, he, and, you know, with rides for four people, I mean, he and Owen were butting up, many times. And, it was just a very special family experience for him. He hasn't had a lot of those in his life. And so for us to be able to give him that was very important to us.
So did he come home like with a favorite memory or something that really stuck out to, I just love hearing from first timers, because I wonder, you know, we have all these experiences, but it's always like, what, you know, what was it? I remember what it was for me, but it's always so interesting because it's not usually what you think it is.
Well, I can remember him saying for the first 3 days of the trip that his favorite attraction was Tower of Terror. And that was all until we got to Animal Kingdom, and that switched over to, Flight of Passage. I mean, that was, you know, just mind blowing to him. We were able to ride that twice, and he just loved it. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, and I had told him before we went that the Polynesian was one of my two favorite resorts. That and the Wilderness Lodge are my two favorite resorts. And so to be able to get to stay at one of those as well was very special to him. So
that's sweet. Yeah, you got good taste. Polynesian and Wilderness Lodge, boy. Those are some nice places to stay. So did the Poly work out fine? I mean, how were your accommodations there for this trip?
Oh yeah. I personally think the Polynesian for in terms of a studio room is unparalleled in Orlando. I mean, the bathrooms in the Polynesian Deluxe Studios are unparalleled. They are, I mean, the showers are huge. The floors of the showers have those, they're like rounded stones. And so it's almost like while you're showering after a hard, hard day in the parks, you're massaging your feet at the same time. It's just fantastic.
Awesome. Now, because I was worried earlier, because I knew, you know, I was trying to sequentially go through the trip with you, and you're in my mind, and I'm thinking, okay, you did Moonlight Magic, that's a late night, then you guys got up and went to Food and Wine, and then you went back to Trader's. I was scared that was the day you went to Mickey's Not So Scary. You did it right, because I think that you can't burn the candle at both ends, especially if you're doing hard ticket night events. Not, you have to slow down. I think that's what you were smart about, because you had two of these in this trip. You have to pace yourself, especially when you're staying out till 12, 1, 1:30 by the time you get back to the room.
And we separated those. Yeah, those were two nights apart, so we were able to separate those. This day at the Poly, the day of Ohana, was the day of the of Mickey's Not So Scary, and so we did go to the park around. We got there for like the earliest we could get in because we're not going to buy a Magic Kingdom pass that day, and so we spent more time at the pool up after Ohana. We went to the pool at the Poly, and then went over to the Magic Kingdom. We took our Halloween costumes and put them in lockers there because we were not going to obviously change into those at 4 o'clock. It was blazing hot. But we were able to, before 7 o'clock when the party actually started, we were able to get a lot of things in. We got, Splash and Big Thunder, Haunted Mansion, Little Mermaid, and then we were able to eat dinner at Pecos Bill's all before the party started. So that was really great.
Two great tips you just threw in there. I just want to, mention these one more time for folks that are going to the party maybe for the first time this season. One is, I think that's a great, even if you have an annual pass, even if you have tickets that cover that day, I just don't recommend being in the Magic Kingdom until till like 4 o'clock, because the thing is, you don't want to start petering out at 9 o'clock. You got to pace yourself. So if you go in at 4, everything's still fresh, and you did the exact right thing, I think, also there, is that you want to eat dinner before the festivities get going, because it's kind of hard to find a place that's open to eat, and you don't want to waste party time, sitting out at Pecos Bill's. You want to be out trick-or-treating and going to the 100%. Shows. And yeah, that's so smart because, you're paying a lot of money for that party. Do the events, eat first.
100%. That was our third year in a row of going to the party. And the party is only going to be for those experiences that I can't do at other times. We did ride a few rides. But it was really about, character meet and greet. It was about the booty parade. It was about the fireworks and the merchandise that's unique to the party. I mean, that's why I go to the party. I don't go to it to ride the rides that I could ride at another time.
Totally true. That's exactly it. Now, you mentioned costume. So what'd you guys dress up as?
Yeah, we went as DC Comics supervillains. We went as the Legion of Doom. I was the Riddler and Beth was Poison Ivy. My son Owen was Deathstroke from the Teen Titans. And then and Dylan was Black Adam, who was a villain in the Shazam comics franchise. So
they let you in being a DC property there instead of Marvel?
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm a DC homer, even though I'm a Disney guy. I've always been a DC Comics fan. So, yeah, they didn't bat an eye.
Oh, that's hilarious. I love the Halloween party because, like I said, when you see groups that get together, like I've seen this season that there was a group the other day, and of course social media is great for this stuff, that there was a whole group that dressed up like all the characters from the old Maelstrom attraction, like every person had like one of the scenes. When I was there one night, there was the whole Haunted Mansion stretching room crew. Their costumes, you guys probably went all out too. Like, I'm not that creative, but I mean, some of these costumes look like Disney level awesome as they're walking around the park.
Well, the funniest thing was changing in the Disney restrooms, because we had locked them in the lockers, and so then we went and changed, and this was all at the front of the Magic Kingdom, the park, and so we changed into them in the restrooms there in stalls. And so that wasn't the most magical thing that I could say from our trip, but but it was something that we were getting looks left and right as we were doing this, but it was we weren't going to walk around them, and I wasn't going to take precious time to go back to the Polynesian once we were already in there. So
no, I hear you. I've changed in a bathroom at Walt Disney World, so I was like, don't let it touch the floor. Please.
Oh, I know. The one thing I did say that I felt like ate up a lot of time, Dylan, again, like I said, is a major Stitch fan, and there was and Stitch was dressed as Elvis, 70s style Elvis, the big white jumpsuit and everything. And so we did wait in line to meet Elvis Stitch, and that took us a good 45 minutes to an hour. We did ride. We rode a couple of rides. We rode in our costumes. We rode on Mine Train, and we rode Space Mountain twice. Space Mountain in the total darkness, which was such a good time.
Oh, sweet. Now, see, I'm not going to the Halloween party this year, but there's one that because I get here. As this show comes out on Sunday, that's the day I'm getting there in the afternoon, and there's a Halloween party that night, but I don't know. Oh, man, now you're having... I love this party. I may have to be there tonight.
It is without question the best Disney experience, I think. I mean, I love the Christmas party, but the Halloween party is just unparalleled.
I agree. They're both fun, because I'm a huge Christmas fan, too. But, man, the Halloween party just kind of kicks it up a notch over the Christmas party to me. This is, I don't know, something about the feeling.
I don't know if you've had it yet, but at Cosmic Rays, they sell, or near Cosmic Rays, they sell soft serve ice cream that's caramel, candy corn flavored.
Oh.
And we had some of that, and it was fantastic.
So you had,
I know, it sounds terrible, but it was delicious.
If I become president, there's a few things I'm going to outlaw. One of them is candy corn. The other one's Coke Freestyle machines. I hate those things.
executive order.
Because those things, seriously, get your soda. It shouldn't take you 7 minutes. I'm thirsty. Because they have one at French Quarter. It drives me nuts. Anyhow, so did you guys make it till the end of the party, till midnight?
We stayed till midnight. We did, because we were just going to the Poly, and so we stayed up until midnight. We did.
Awesome. So now, how's the next day go down? You sleeping a little, or do you get up and still go hard and have some fun?
No, of course not. I mean, it was our last day in any park, so we had to go. We had to rope drop it to Animal Kingdom.
So you guys got over there. You mentioned that you had some time in Pandora. So was it your first time seeing Pandora? What were your impressions like Pandora compared to Toy Story?
It wasn't our first time. It was Dylan's first time seeing everything. But Beth and Owen and I had done Pandora, and we were able to ride Flight of Passage twice, and the Navi River Journey once, and most of the rides there we were able to do all of those things. So.
Yeah, that Animal Kingdom has really come around, because I used to just go. I didn't even go every trip. I would go to Animal Kingdom, say, like every other trip. It was just kind of an afterthought. But now it's like you really have to go there, because it's got some really great attractions. It's got some of the best shows. And in my opinion, it's also got the best counter service restaurants in any of the theme parks.
I agree. And what you just said about the shows, I've often said that the best shows on Disney property are at Animal Kingdom. I mean, Finding Nemo, the musical, and Festival of the Lion King are just, you cannot miss those if you're a Disney newbie or if you are a Disney veteran. And Dylan is also a big Lion King fan, so that was very special as well.
Yeah, that's a great point, because I kick myself because I get over there, especially when we go in the summer, we go for, 7 to 10 nights and, a nice long stretch because my wife's a teacher and we can get away. And, a lot of times we'll just walk past Festival of Lion King and, we'll do it another day. And then we'll, end up not going in for that whole trip. But then when I go on the next trip and we see the show, I'm like, how do I not see this every trip? Because it is this is so fun. But then I walk past it, I don't know what's wrong with me, because I love that show every time I see it.
Yeah, I could probably, Nemo, we usually see both of them, but for whatever, and Finding Nemo is my favorite Disney movie of all time. But that said, I think Festival of the Lion King is just, from a show standpoint, is the one that I just don't miss. And I will say, too, we saw another show that I've always considered a can't miss, and I was not thrilled. The Up Bird Show, we had seen Flights of Wonder many times and always loved it, and I didn't really feel like it needed IP to succeed and to thrive, and so I wasn't thrilled that they added characters to that. It just seemed to, to spoil it a little bit for me.
I'm 100% with you. I saw that show as well. And what I was amazed by, and I think, probably most of the audience too, you're there to see the birds, and the birds do the tricks and, that kind of stuff. And I feel like the characters on the stage slowed everything down. Like, I just wanted to see the birds and learn about them and see what they could do.
Yeah, I mean, when we go there, we wait in line for characters. I mean, I like seeing characters. I like getting pictures with characters. But in that show, we're in the Animal Kingdom, for heaven's sakes. That's something where I just wanted to see the animals.
Yeah, I'm right with you. All right, so we're kind of coming to the end of the show here. So as we wrap, give me final thoughts on this trip. I mean, you've gone on a lot of trips. This is a good Food and Wine, Mickey's Not So Scary trip. So tips, anything you learned, anything you'd help the audience with?
Well, I would say, because like I said, this is probably my best planned trip. And I tried very hard to integrate unstructured time at the pool and at Disney Springs, at key moments of the trip. We were at the pool two or three different times during this trip. After Animal Kingdom that day, we got back to the resort and watched Utopia Under the Stars. They had a movie Under the Stars. And it was just a really, really great cap for the entire experience. I mean, we were, barefoot with our feet in the cold sand, and we were watching this movie Under the Stars. And we were able to watch the fireworks from that beach as well. And it really brought the whole trip together for me. That's a part where we didn't pay for that. We paid for stay at the Poly, but that was just one of those non-park experiences that last night, where it was a perfect cap. So, I mean, I would always recommend to people, especially with young kids, to try to build in time that is not in the parks, that's not structured or organized, to just let your kids get wet in the pool and let you and your friends sit on the beach and enjoy the ambiance of the resorts, because the resorts are quite frankly my favorite part of the trip.
Yeah, 100% agree. You know, it's like not just the kids, but everybody needs a little downtime outside those theme parks, because they're just, you know, it's sensory overload. You got smells, you got sounds, you got sights, and you just need to, like you said, when you can put your toes in the cool sand and maybe sit on some, sit on the grass and watch a movie. So when you get home, a lot of times my kids, it's always that kind of stuff, or like walking around the resort, you know, it's like, well, they didn't talk about the time we went on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train or, you know, Slinky Dog. It was,
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I remember we went up and saw Yeehaw Bob at Riverside, you know, it's like, well, I didn't plan on that being a highlight, but it was. And I think that's a great point.
I mean, I'll tell you, I'd say every trip that we've gone on, that we've been on, we always end up watching one of the movies under the stars at some point during that trip. And you know, it's not like we pick it for what movie is playing. We walk by and say, oh, there's Monsters, Inc. It's playing. So and we just plop ourselves down and sit for an hour and then just really enjoy it. And it's so relaxing.
I agree. All right, now I'm ready to be down there, so I will be there this week. So, Spencer, thanks so much for kicking off the week with us. We love taking these virtual trip reports. And, hey, have a great school year down there in North Carolina.
Hey, great. Thank you, Mike. I always enjoy talking to you.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you so much. All right, don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. When you're headed down to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or even Universal, you need to have some information. You need to make sure that you're zigging when everybody else is zagging. You can save up to 4 hours in line each day of your trip. So check out all the great services they offer. They're over at touringplans.com. Also, support the show the easiest way possible. Just use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You still get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra, and each purchase does help support the show. So again, please bookmark it and use it often. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. All right, I'm going to be down solo, so give me a follow on the social media. I'll be posting away like crazy at BeOurGuestMike on Instagram and Twitter. And of course, follow along on Facebook, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Time to get out of here and let you get on with your week. I'll be down at Walt Disney World, but everybody else back at work, you guys have a good one. So for Spencer, I'm Mike, wishing you a great week. It's time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.